Krishna. I thank you for your warm welcome and hospitality and hope to be able to say something to you in this morning class, which will be useful for your own spiritual life in Krishna consciousness. When we travel like this, visiting different temples and Hare Krishna, welcome, and addressing the devotees, it is obviously our concern to say something which may be helpful for their life. I know that we have a regular program of listening to the Bhagavatam, and it is always very interesting to see what different devotee speakers bring in order to unfold the secrets of the spiritual text and make Bhagavatam happen, so to say, in the sense that uplifting experience of purifying the heart and seeing the Lord or coming closer to the Lord becomes more visible. So I'm very, very inspired. I thought before reading to you the translation, I give you a little bit the context in which this verse stands. This is, I understand, the third part of a lecture series which you have, Lessons from the Pastimes of Lord Ram. And when the devotees told me that they wished my lecture to be part of this series, I felt honored and very inspired, because we just had Ramachandra's appearance day in Berlin, and we worship Lord Jagannath there as the main deity, very large size deity who was carved from the same wood of which, or the same tree, I should say, of which the present Jagannath deities were carved, who are now worshipped on the altar. So on that day when we came in the temple, the deity was not on the altar, and he was missing, and Balaram was also missing. What had happened? Well, Jagannath had transformed into Ramachandra. He had a green face and a bow and an arrow, and Lord Balaram had formed into Lakshman. Yes. So that was enigmatic, and it looked really ecstatic. We were not prepared for such a beautiful darshan, and today I would like to talk in the second part of the lecture about this phenomena that the Lord in Puri is worshipped on Ramachandra's appearance day as Rama, and he's dressed like this and has the same outfit, and even sharpened arrows are there. Yes, we were very respectful on that day, not to get any arrow in our heart. Yes, so I was very inspired, like all of us, when we saw the Lord like this, and then I heard I could speak on Ram this today, and I felt just very happy. And it's interesting how Shukadev Goswami introduces his Ram Katha. He says to Parikshit, you have heard again and again about Lord Ramachandra, the husband of Mother Sita. It is well known, this story. Therefore, I shall describe these activities only in brief. Please listen. The pastimes of Lord Ram are extremely well known and beloved by all the spiritualists. And the pastimes of Lord Ram spell something out to all of us, which is very important. Please listen very carefully. Lord Krishna is known as the Lila Purushottama. That means the Lord who engages in amazing pastimes. He lifts the Govardhan hill and calls all his devotees to take shelter. And on the side shows that he is stronger than Indra and defeats Indra's plans. He expands laughingly into millions of and trillions of cowherd boys when Brahma tested him, and in this way shows Brahma, I'm your Lord, don't forget this. But he does this in a very playful way. He doesn't bring the devatas to the court and sues them with an English expression, but he just joyfully plays. We have a word in German, it means ausgelassen. I think if you would translate this literally, you would have to say let loose. He's like a child who's let loose. Lila Purushottama, the Lord of pastimes. Then there's Gauranga, he appears and he is another Purushottama. What is his significance as Lord Gauranga? I think our Sutapa made this, revealed this to the world in his groundbreaking book on the pastimes of Gauranga. I think it's in the air. I will just grab it. Prema Purushottama. He is experiencing love of Godhead and distributes it. And Rama is Lord Rama is yet another Purushottama. What is his speciality, his characteristic? Oh, Krishna. Hope the curtain will open again. You know it. I'm just bringing it out in a way which will catch your attention. Maryada Purushottama. Maryada means the correct behavior which he shows. When I was driven by Deepak in his Pushpa Viman, in his up here, we both noticed we are now on the Dharma mark. This Dharma mark leads to Lord Rama. Dharma gives us a code of behavior which is suitable for elevation. And Lord Rama is teaching that through his pastimes. And how this is so, we will see in a moment. He brings to the attention of the distraught and distracted human beings the path of Dharma, the Dharma mark, which bears incredible power in it, especially when it turns into Sanatan Dharma, and we will see this in this verse. This verse focuses us in on the battlefield. No? Hear the sounds of crashing, marching soldiers, shooting. There's one side which uses the most sophisticated weapons of all times, and another side which fights back with uprooted trees and tops of mountains. So this is where you are at the moment with this verse. Angada, the verse says, and the other commanders of the soldiers of Ramachandra faced the elephants, infantry, horses and chariots of the enemy and hurled against them big trees, mountain peaks, clubs and arrows. Thus the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra killed Ravan's soldiers who had lost all good fortune because Ravan had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. It's a beautiful purport which alerts us to the fact, why were these monkey soldiers who were disadvantaged by their military equipment, why were they successful over this mantra-controlled and explosive weapons of the demons? Huh? Listen. The soldiers Lord Ramachandra recruited in the jungle were all monkeys, and they did not have proper equipment with which to fight the soldiers of Ravan. For Ravan's soldiers were equipped with weapons of modern warfare, whereas the monkeys could only throw stones, mountain peaks, and trees. It was only Lord Ramachandra and Lakshman who shot some arrows. As we all know, these were mantra-controlled missiles. No? But because the soldiers of Ravan were condemned by the curse of Mother Sita, the monkeys were able to kill them simply by throwing stones and trees. There are two kinds of strengths, Daiva and Purushakara. Daiva refers to the strength achieved from the transcendence, and Purushakara refers to the strength organized by one's own intelligence and power. So two types of strengths. One is divine and another is human. Transcendental power is always superior to the power of the materialist. Depending on the mercy of the Supreme Lord, one must fight one's enemies, even though one may not be equipped with modern weapons. Therefore, Krishna instructed Arjuna, Mang anusmara yutyacha, think of me and fight. We should fight our enemy to the best of our ability, but for victory we must depend on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nithi Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskachyare Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. This verse, of course, tells us between the archetypical fight between the demons and those who are of divine mentality. It is an archetypical fight. That is a fight which goes on in the human psychology or in the human heart, and therefore is archetypical. It's everywhere. It's spread. In a different time, the asuras were not on the same planets as the human beings. They were in a different part of the universe. Then in Treta Yuga, they were at the same planet. In Dvaraka Yuga, they moved in the same family. That is, you would sometimes find in the same family people of demonic disposition and also godly disposition. But it is said that in Kali Yuga, these two forces, the demoniac and the divine, are in the same heart. I remember when His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Maharaj passed away, he gave me one tip in passing. We were friends. He said, "Sachinandan Swami, in your heart are two dogs fighting with each other. Who will win?" I said, "Maharaji, I'm very sad in my heart. I cannot think about such puzzles or quiz. I cannot think at the moment. You please tell me who will win." And he said, "Maharaj, you must think. You are from Germany. You should be able to think a little. Two forces are in the art, fighting with each other." And then he said, because he saw I was just so sad or so shattered because he was leaving us, he said, "That force or that dog in you will win who you nourish, whom you give food, who you strengthen, that will win the battle, the inner struggle for spiritual emancipation." We should fight our enemy, Prabhupada says, to the best of our ability, but for victory, we must depend on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he gives this analogy. There were two sides fighting with each other. The Ravan's side, the demoniac side, and Ramachandra's side, his Vanaras, and they were, it was a real fight. But although materially speaking, the monkeys were disadvantaged, they had another type of strength. They were connected with something else than material strength. They were having daiva. Daiva means, refers to strength achieved from the transcendence. They were in this way very, very successful. We will now go into the story of Lord Ramachandra, and we will find this point using daiva or a superior strength, because he was showing in his pastimes how absolutely it is important it is to rely on this strength. And in this way, as the Mayada Purushottama gave us a lesson which is extremely important. The lesson to follow Dharma and Sanatana Dharma and rely on the strengths of Dharma and Sanatana Dharma in our efforts. There is a verse here, our pandits will have to rush to my aid if I mix it up. Dharma rakshati rakshitaha. Yes. He who protects his Dharma is protected by Dharma. This came out very nicely at a morning which was the sad morning in the Ram Leela. You know, Ram was the beloved of all the citizens of Ayodhya. The Ayodhya Vasi only, you know, they lived to have the darshan of Lord Ram. And on the day before their emperor, Dasharath, was to enthrone Ram, they were absolutely joyful. Preparations for the coronation were going on with vigor and with joy. But on that evening before the coronation, one of the three wives of Dasharath, Kaikeyi, whose mind was infested with political poison, let us leave it with this, came and demanded from Dasharath to give her two boons. When she came in, Dasharath was so joyful. He said, "Oh, Kaikeyi, my beloved queen, you have come." "Yes," said Kaikeyi, "I have come to ask you to fulfill the promise which you gave me." "Oh, what was the promise?" "That you would fulfill two of my boons. Remember when I took your wounded body from the battlefield, brought it on the chariot, and then drove you into security?" "Yes, yes, yes. I owe my life to you, Kaikeyi, for this. I was bleeding on the battlefield. The enemies would have killed me, but you saved me." "Yes," said Kaikeyi. "Yes, I remember. At that time, I said, you have two boons free." "Yes," said Kaikeyi. And it was a very joyful spirit still. Kaikeyi was very tense. Dasharath noticed it, but he was very joyful. It was the day before the coronation. "Yes, at that time you didn't want the two boons to be given. You saved them for a later time. Have you come now on this auspicious day to ask me for the two boons?" "Yes, yes, yes, yes," said Kaikeyi. "But you will not like it. My desire is, send Ram into the forest for banishment and make Bharata, my son, who has taken birth from my womb, the emperor." Dasharath was not sure if he heard properly. Maybe he said, "Kaikeyi, what was it that you wish?" And Kaikeyi repeated her desire. "Send Ram into the forest and make my son Bharata the king." Dasharath was stroken. He said, "What?
followed the Dharma, the Raja Dharma. You have given the promise. You must follow it. You cruel woman, what do you want?
And she had to repeat it several times.
Dasharath was shaking.
It is described in medicine when there is something striking your heart, it gets into your body. He had to lay down. His heart was faltering. He said, "Bring Ram." And all this time, Dasharath had a hope that this would not come through. Ram was brought. He came in very joyfully and he said, "Father, you're not well." Dasharath was lying and he said, he couldn't speak. He looked at the face of his son. He said, "Ram, Ram." He really cried. No emperor, no king like this cries very easily. He couldn't speak. Then Kaikeyi rose and spoke. "Your father wants that you go into the forest. You're banished for 13 years, isn't it? 14 years. And he wants that my son Bharata becomes the king." Ram looked at Dasharath. Dasharath entirely helplessly looked at Ram. Dasharath hoped that Ram would protest, that he would maybe gather allies against this unfair treatment, that he would rise to power. He couldn't say it. And Ram said, there was not a move in his face of being hurt, you know, and then trying to give an English smile. And inside, there's war going on. No, he was just absolutely composed. And he said, "If this is your desire, Father, I will do it." And Dasharath called out, no. But Ram, it was clear, the situation was clear to Ram. And Ram then went. It was unfair. It was unjust. And as we know, when Bharata heard about this arrangement, he came to the forest that Ram was residing by that time, a nearby forest, to the king, and he offered the kingdom back. But Ram said, "No. It is the Dharma to follow one's father and the Guru. And by following the Dharma of following the Guru and the father is considered one of the Gurus, then one is successful." This was the understanding. It is an understanding which is not so much known these days. Everyone tries to cheat on the laws of Dharma and tries to get by and thinks it's good. But the old understanding is, no one may see how you break the Dharma, but the Dharma will break you and your life. You will even maybe successfully live your life by being by hiding before the public eye what you do. But in your next life, the reactions have to come. There's a very interesting, because I want to talk on lessons of the Ramayana, a very interesting experiment on integrity done in America, which I would like to just, if you allow me, just for 1 second, tell you to make the point how important it is to follow Dharma, even though it may be inconvenient in one sense. The results are just amazing. There was a clinic, or is a clinic, in the state Oregon. Oregon, do I say it properly? Oregon, For people suffering from nervous disorders and also mentally challenged. And the clinic lies on the side of a autobahn. I think you say it in English without the proper German pronunciation. Autobahn. Do we say? Highway, we say. Hare Krishna. It is there. And there, to reach the clinic, you come by the highway and you take an exit, which brings you to the clinic. And at the end of the exit, there's something which, in English, I don't know how you call it, a mount station where money is collected. But this station is you have to put it on your own volition inside. There is no barrier, which you like you have in the Heathrow Airport, where you pay your something, you get your chip, and then you put it in the machine, and then zip, the barrier opens, and you drive through. No, in this exit there is a station where everyone gives in 50, what is the 50 cents? Is it cents? And you can easily go through the exit if you choose to not pay the 50 cents. It's up to you. There is no consequence, no apparent consequence. Am I clear? Because I speak with a heavy accent. I know it is a torture to listen to me. Do you understand? Thank you. So, in this experiment, the experimenters put cameras to see who would cheat and who would not cheat, who would pay and who would not pay. Now, they were not interested in the staff of the clinic. They were not interested in the patients who came there. They were interested in the doctors. Would they pay or would they not pay? And it was all recorded on the camera. So then they found out that there were a few doctors who saved the 50 cents for cigarettes or whatever, you know, and who never paid. Because you would not be checked. Only with this installed camera, which was a new thing. Mistake. They were also not interested who would pay or not pay. They were interested in what the effect of these doctors were on their patient. And they found out that the patients of the doctors who cheated were not good. The patients would not have good results in their healing. Whereas the patients who came to the doctors who did not cheat recovered in a significantly faster rate or speed or whatever it is called. So you can see from this experiment, although the doctors who didn't pay could have said, well, no problem, I save money, no one sees it, there was a serious problem because they had broken on their integrity. After all, these roads are built from the money of the taxpayers, and they use this, and they don't give their, they don't pitch in to facilitate these roads, but they use it. And these people who did not have the sense to see that, and who were character-wise not good, they had serious problem. It affected their patients and their work. They couldn't help their patients properly. So it is very, very interesting that we can sometimes also imagine that we will cheat in our life, and we will do something which is hidden from the public eye. But whatever it is that we do, that we shouldn't do, and we continue to do it, it will have not good effects on us. So therefore, when we say that Lord Rama is the Mayada Purushottama, the one who teaches the right behavior, no, I'm with a different point at the moment. if we do something which we hide from the public eye, it will not be for our good. So therefore, Rama had the opportunity to not follow the orders of his father, who took a guru-like position, twice. When the order was pronounced in the presence of Dasharath, and then even when Dasharath had died and from grief, and Bharata came, and who was now the king, and offered the kingdom back, Rama could have said, "Welcome, yes, nice," and so on, or so on. But he wanted to show that even in the face of temptation, you follow the Dharmic Codex because it is better for you. I would now like to make a second point on Lord Rama, which has to do more with Sanatan Dharma, that is, the duties of the soul, not in relation to the world, but in relation to the world of the Lord, the spiritual world. This point requires a little bit your full attention, which is not there for all of us who rose so early this morning and who are a little bit, sleep deprived. So you have to find, there is a point you can pressure if you want here. It's very painful, and you cannot sleep if you, this is what warriors do in battles, if you need to find, it's just under the, here in the rim, and you just press until you, but don't press until you faint, as you have to find the point when you stop. This is how you can remain awake. Anyways, a little echo pressure is sometimes useful in temple life. So, in Berlin, we had an extensive Rama Katha, and we talked about Yatayu, who went into the way of Ravan as Ravan tried or kidnapped Mother Sita. I think you remember this pastime very well. Ravan had taken a disguise, and by the simple disguise trick, he had deceived Mother Sita and kidnapped her, and then took her on an aerial chariot to bring her to Lanka. But he was held up by Jatayu, the mighty eagle, who saw what was happening and attacked Ravan. The Ravan began to fight, but Jatayu took his claws and made a huge wound on the chest of Ravan, and then he came from the back, and Ravan didn't spin around fast enough because he had underestimated the fighting potency of Jatayu. So he didn't catch him, and again his claws bore into the meat of Ravan's strong shoulders. This was too much. Ravan was incensed, and he then began to hack away the wings of Jatayu, who still fought. Then Jatayu came down to the ground, and was lying there bleeding, but keeping his life as intact, because although he couldn't uphold Ravan, he wanted to pass the information where Ravan had gone with Sita to Ram. And Ram came in the last minute, and my dear mother, I'm not used to family life, and when someone talks as a polite German, I give the audience, I always give the word to the talker. So maybe you can take your child, yes, I'm sorry. It is simply weak nerves when you get old. Jatayu was lying on the ground, and by the Lord's arrangement, Ram found him there. I'm sorry. 10 more years, then the situation is different. Oh, we have arrangement. good. No. Yes, but it's not as good as life, you know. So, okay. Have to focus now. Ram said, Jatayu, my friend. Yes, I tried to keep, to hold up Ravan, but he was more powerful. I failed you, my lord. You didn't fail me, said Ram. You gave your life in my service. Yes, said Jatayu, just before I die, I need to say this. Ravan has gone this way, and he pointed the way towards Lanka and helped Ravan, and Ravan helped Ram. Ram took the head of Jatayu on his head and gave him comfort. And the last thing which came out of Jatayu's beak was the best thing. Ram, he said, as his life has passed from him. So we were talking about this in great detail. There was no children talk at the same time, and it was more focused, and we were all thinking, my God, how much the devotees of Lord Ram, like Jatayu, love their Lord. We want that this also comes into our heart. Yes, we can follow a dharma, but a Sanatan dharma is more. We want to give our love and our affection to the Lord, and not just act out of duty in our spiritual lives. We want to be motivated by the highest motivating power. How much the devotees love Ram. And this was seen by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed through South India, he came upon a devotee of Ram. His name was Ramdas, who lived in present-day Tamil Nadu. It is about this area. And Ramdas saw the Lord and said, my Lord, please stay with me and have your lunch with me. The Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the invitation and stayed in the simple forest cottage of Ram doing his chanting. So time went by, and around, it must have been around 2 o'clock, noon, when noon turns into afternoon, there was no food. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just looked what was the lunch arrangement, and he saw Ram totally distraught, and Ram Das had not even started the cooking. So Lord Chaitanya saw there was a problem, and he said, Ram Das, you have not started the cooking. And Ram Das said, oh, I'm totally distraught. Oh, you're distraught? Yes, I could kill myself. What is the problem? A problem is Ravan has taken Sita, the goddess of fortune, the divine consort of Ram, my lord, and he has kidnapped it. I cannot tolerate the thought of this. That my lord's Sita is kidnapped. Now I have even forgotten cooking. I'm so bad. I'm so... You just stay. I'm going out in the forest. I'm getting everything quickly. Your lunch will come a little delayed. Please forgive me. And he rushed out. He gathered the vegetables and he cooked quickly and he served. Lord Chaitanya said, I will investigate on this. But do not worry. So we all know the pastime. He went to the to South India, to Coma, some Coma place related to Coma, and he heard the brahmanas there reciting from the Coma Purana, and they had just come to the place where it was written in the Shastra that when Ravan kidnapped Sita, he was not kidnapping the real Sita, but a mayic, an illusory form, which was given to him instead. It's just as if you, let us say, if we have we have Vyasaki, and then a look-alike of Vyasaki, then he may look, he may have the charming Vaishnav effulgence of Vyasaki, but he may not sing so beautifully as the real Vyasaki. It's just like a mannequin, someone you put with plastic man in the shopping window with a suit. So the only difference here was that this Mayik Sita could walk and talk and look and everything, but it was not the real Sita. The real Sita was kept by Agnidev in his loka. It's a long story. I want to get at another point. Lord Chaitanya took that leaf of the Kuma Purana. At that time, the books were in leaf form, you know. You would go like this. And it was copied, a new copy was made, and it was kept. And he took the original piece. He went on his return journey to this Ram Das and said, Ram Das, your worries are over. Look at the Kuma Purana. It was not the real Sita which was kidnapped by Ravan. It was a look-alike, a facsimile, some artistic creation. But in the romantic times in Germany, we had a lot of discussion on this, how there were robots who would move almost, and no, sometimes one was mistaking the real person for the unreal person. This was happening there. So, yes, Ram Das was extremely blessed by this and very happy. His problem was over so on. And we were talking about this in Berlin with the devotees that look how Jatayu and Ramdas relate to their Ishta Devata. You thought, my life, I give that in the service of Ram. And Ramdas, many, many, many years later, was so much thinking about the Ram Leela that it was for him his world. For him it was the most important world. He was so distracted with that grief that he would not cook. And I was asking the devotees, but look at us modern Hare Krishnas. We are such lukewarm people. You know, we are not lukewarm. We are not our sambandha. Our relation is not so much there. My dear devotees, this is a lesson, a second lesson, which I want to extract today. If you want to know your Lord ever, you cannot be a lukewarm Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. You must be someone who is integer, both in his acts in this world, and you must be integer. You must follow the Pancharatrika Vidhi. That is what we do. Our rules and regulations are there in this area of scripture, and we must follow also the idea of serving the Lord with a feeling of being related. He is my most important personality. He is my beloved. I want to serve him because he is my only shelter and he is lovable. And it is with then that the Lord reveals himself. On that day in Berlin, when we came into the Jagannath temple, and Jagannath was green and had a bow and an arrow, and what is it called? It's where the arrows are, something in this, in the bay. A quiver, thank you. Bow and quiver. We told the devotees a story, which is in the background, why Lord Jagannath is green and has a bow and a quiver with arrows. And with this, I want to end because it illustrates the second point. Enter your relationship with Krishna. Follow the example of Yatayu and Ramdas and bring some feeling to your service. It is a story from Jagannath Puri. Once the great poet Tulsidas heard in scripture that the Lord is in Kali Yuga worshipped in Puri as the Lord of the universe. So he made a pilgrimage. He is a Ram Bhakta who wrote a big work on Ram's pastimes, which is known. Ram Charitam's mother. Huh? Yes, thank you. And the Tulsi came. And he expected, of course, to see Lord Ram as the Lord of the universe. So he went to Puri, but then on the altar he saw a personality who was blackish, who had large eyes. He said, "This is not Ram. I was told my Lord is worshipped in Kali Yuga, but this is not my Lord. My Lord has beautiful green complexion. Oh, he has such beautiful shaped limbs. Oh, his eyes are so much spread, like lotus. Oh, my Lord is this, my Lord is that. And he has feet, and there is a nakamandala, there is an orbit of rays around his feet. This is not my Lord." And very distraught, he went into a little village 6 kilometers away from Puri. He fasted and he went to sleep under a tree. So evening time approached and Subhadra said to Jagannath, "I'm disappointed with you. You said that anyone who comes to Puri is your guest and he gets ample prasadam. Now, this is a devotee and he has fasted and he is crying. I expect you to hold your word. Feed him. Jagannath looked to his little sister. And little sister's always right. So he took the form of a Brahmin boy, took the maha plate, it was gold, it was very nice little katoris, I think, golden katoris. Everything, good meal, everything was available, puris, sweet, the rice they serve there, and these special preparations, very nice. Jagannath tongs, everything was there. And he brought that to the village where he saw Tulsi resting under the banyan tree and crying a little. He said, "Oh, Tulsi Das, Tulsi Das, Tulsi Das, you have not eaten?" Tulsi Das came. "Yes, I'm not hungry. Who are you?" said Tulsi Das. "Oh, I come from Puri. I'm sent by your lord. Here's a plate. Eat it." And the lord says, "You should come again and you should look properly. Why are you looking hastily? And then your heart's desire will be fulfilled." So this was an extraordinary accountant. There was a golden plate. And bring the golden plate along with you. He needs it. Your lord needs it. "What?" Tulsi was electrified. When he looked at the Brahmin boy, he looked so beautiful. So the Brahmin boy went away. Tulsi Das ate, and he felt ecstasy rising. He could not sleep with anticipation. And in the morning, early morning, he went back. I don't know how he kept the plate. Most probably he must have cleverly, what if a thief would see the golden plate? So he covered it, and so he went here, and he went into the same temple. And as he went into the temple, my dear devotees, he saw Lord Ramachandra, Sita Devi, and Lakshman on the altar, and there was Hanuman. He was overwhelmed, but he couldn't understand. But I think we understand. In the way, there's a verse in Chaitanya Bhagavat, in the way you worship the Lord, in that way he will reveal himself. Say, there's a beautiful verse which I have not yet learned, but it says, in the way you worship the Lord, he reveals himself. And my dear devotees, I feel this is, I want to make this, bring this to your attention. Today, two points come to your attention. Follow whatever you are supposed to follow as a devotee, follow this, because even if you cheat and no one sees it, it is a harmful consequence is there. It is not helpful, the consequence. The second is, follow this beautiful example of the devotees of Ram who are focused on their Lord, like anything. And that's why the Lord reveals themselves. That's why the Lord came to the deathbed of Jatayu. That's why he came personally as Gauranga Mahaprabhu to Ramdas, to dispel the misery in the mind of Ramdas, who was suffering from the thought that Ravan had kidnapped Sita, the actual Sita. This is why the Lord came to Tulsi Das, because they all give an example of a real relationship, of a loving relationship. There is a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita which says, "My dear Lord, since a very, very long time in this world, I have completely forgotten you. My Lord, I have completely forgotten you for a long time in this material world. But now, I'm turning to you as your sincere and serious servant. Please accept me." This is the mood in Sambandha. And the Lord, as Rama said, Sakrit Eva Prapanoyasa, he who comes before me and says, "My Lord, from this day on, I am yours." I give him the courage to serve me. Courage you need, because there are obstacles on the way which can be overcome by devotional confidence or inner courage. But this is only coming, my dear devotees, my dear Hare Krishna, Hare Ramas. This is only coming. I'm making a point, therefore I'm piercing you a little. This only comes if you stop automatic devotional life. And it will come when you start your sincere devotional life. And the testing place where you are tested, where the camera is on you, is when you chant your rounds. Because from all of Krishna's treasures, his holy name is the most significant treasure, because it is through the holy name that you can make your contact with the Lord in all earnestness. So, Hare Krishna. I will end here. I thank you very much for your kind attention. I promise to learn better English. It comes with practice. Then, no problem. It will come. I wish you a wonderful day in your devotional life. And if you forget everything, which will happen to most of you, remember two words, follow Dharma and follow Sanatana Dharma. Or more closely, do what you're supposed to do. It will be good for you in the service of Guru and Krishna. And then in your spiritual life, don't be so mechanic. You are not mechanic. Overcome mechanical robot life, but turn to Krishna properly. Hare Krishna.